Okay.
2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19 begins with a nevertheless. Regardless of other things that you might have been thinking about, nevertheless, even though you've got wrong teaching out there, and you might even be susceptible to it yourself, even though you've got some wicked guys like Hymenaeus and Philetus who are overthrowing the faith of some, you can do whatever you want to. The foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
So, one of the things that you can rejoice in is that even though you might be surrounded by an increasing number of admitted atheists in this country, highest number there's ever been,
yeah,
even though Hutchins and others are writing atheistic, God-hating books, even though Bill Maher is making his comedic career out of making fun of Christians, the foundation standeth sure.
Amen.
And if it gets to the point where Christianity is such a laughing stock, and I don't see many churches turning that around the way they're operating, and if they find the God particle, the Higgs boson, and write God out of the history books, and everybody thinks that evolution, if it's 100% except for you, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, one commentary that's a famous one by Mounts says that the foundation of God is what Peter says to Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. Mm-hmm. Do you suppose that might be a Roman Catholic oriented commentator?
Oh,
shocker. And Vincent, who does many Greek word studies, says the foundation of God is the church. I wonder which church that would be, whether that's Peter's or Paul's, or they brought Peter to pay Paul. In the foundation of God, we know that there's no other foundation that any man can lay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot say too much about the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is, when things are in their summation, the all in all. When everything is brought together, it's brought together in Him.
Yes.
So the person of Christ, exemplifying, as he did, God manifest in the flesh, that personage, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to make him the foundation of God. I'm going to make him the bedrock of everything. And when it's all settled and done in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, all things are brought together that are in heaven, that are in earth, in him. He is the just and the justifier, the Alpha and the Omega. To make it Peter, to make it us, I'm just not comfortable with it. You do as you would. But I've got a foundation where Ephesians 2:20 declares Christ to be the foundation, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 declares Christ to be the foundation. And as we've seen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, and other places, it's about Christ. Now, the fascinating thing about that is, of course, folks are comfortable talking about God. Jesus Christ is the problem.
Yes.
Oh my God has become everybody's response to everything anymore.
Yeah.
You get a bigger portion at McDonald's, they give you some extra fries. Oh my God, look at all that. You win $100 million in the lottery. Oh my God, look at all that.
Yeah.
I call it cussing.
Yes.
Oh
did he pick
it? Yeah, I call it taking the Lord's name in vain. I call it sloppy, slovenly speech, and I'm very uncomfortable with it. Some of you know me 20 or 30 years, you've never heard me say the word gosh. It's just something I schooled away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Try to school away using the word rapture. Try to school, you have to force some things on yourself because the Bible teaches them to you.
Yes.
So I'm going to make it Christ. Well, Jesus is just a way to God. He is God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God manifested in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and there's no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, which is Jesus Christ. So, we teach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery,
yes,
with the fullness of data that far exceeds anything Job knew before the law,
yeah,
anything Moses knew under the law, anything the Messiah Christ taught Israel. We have further revelation and better knowledge, Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, than did they.
Yes.
So we would be desperately wrong to operate in the red letters. And more wrong still, to grab verses from anywhere. I have some friends who are sending their children to quote-unquote Christian school. I'm not certain a school can get saved.
That's right.
So I don't know what makes it a Christian school. I'm very uncomfortable. But in this Christian school, it has to be Baptist because they're doing fundraisers.
Bazinga.
And I get a solicitation, they're having a jogathon. And would I sponsor the jogathon? Well, I find that off-putting. I find that tacky. Mm-hmm. What are you teaching the children?
Begging.
Mm-hmm. Tricks to get money. Mm-hmm. Perform like a seal. And throw you a fit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are you teaching the children? And it comes with a really rotten Bible version. They only quote one verse. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And that was their jog. You can do it. Run the race. Verse. Wow. Verse 1. This is Moses' minister talking.
Yeah.
Verse 2, it's about the people Israel going into Jordan, going over this Jordan into the promised land. Verse 3, every place you put your foot down, oh, you joggers are just claiming it for Jesus.
Yeah.
Verse 4, the wilderness and Lebanon, the great river and the Hittites going down with the sun shall be your coast. You just take whatever you want because you're God's people. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Why? You're going to win the race. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for this people shall thou divide for an inheritance. So you can just run other people.
Yeah, buddy.
Now, I've got, what? Kids?
Yeah. Nice kids.
In verse 9, who don't know, because they're never going to be taught in this school.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all Israel, and that these are not their promises, so that they don't come puffed up, think, well, I own the land, and wherever I put my foot down, that's all this wrong doctrine with a junk Bible version, and the parents are paying money,
yeah,
for their kids to go there.
Yeah.
Christian school, what makes you Christian? You baptize the bricks? I mean, If you're teaching this kind of trash,
yeah, that's what we do.
One nice thing about a secular school is at least you recognize the trash for being trash.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Here you're getting trash and might not recognize it for trash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I digress.
Yeah.
We have a more complete understanding.
Yes.
We're not with the Baptists under the law, tithing, sticking people in a tank of water, when actually the Holy Spirit puts us into the body of Christ, and that's our baptism.
Yes.
This more complete understanding that we have, I'm going to say this parenthetically, the faith of Christ identifies that. That terminology is not Jesus having faith in a totem pole someplace, but rather this body of data that is a further revelation and understanding than had Israel with its Messiah, than had Moses under the law, than had Job prior to the law. Job got to hear God talk out of a whirlwind. Wrote about 2.5 chapters of information that is incontrovertible. And yet I know things that he didn't.
Yes.
This more complete understanding, which I enjoy, Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 6, is Christ according to the revelation of the mystery.
Yes.
And so, knowing that, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, "My son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from our God and Father, and Lord Jesus Christ." That's several ways of saying the same thing.
Yes.
"I don't give heed to fables. I don't give heed to genealogies," verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Yes.
"They minister questions rather than godly edifying. Rather, verse 19, I hold the faith and good conscience. I'm not going to join," 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, "the Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses.
No.
I rather am," 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "going to fight the good fight."
Yes.
It's a fight of faith. I know what the battle lines are. I know what the issues are. And so, by God's grace, that's where I need to be.
Yes.
So in Titus chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 4, "My own son, and after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." I operate knowing I'm at peace with God. By grace, I have mercy that I didn't deserve. Now, having that, he has sealed me until the day of redemption. I'm now a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that comes first is faith, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I trust what Christ did for me. God then seals me with the Holy Spirit of promise. I then am located in the foundation of God that standeth sure, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my future home.
Amen.
Judicially, I'm there now. When my soul leaves my body, I'll be positionally there.
Amen.
So, that's a wonderful thing. In 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 19, the verse we're dealing with, Paul says, "The foundation of God standeth sure," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "having this seal," I've been sealed until the day of redemption, "the Lord knoweth them that are his." Okay, that's good. There are three people who know whether or not you're saved. You're one of them. The Lord's one of them. And the devil got your number.
Mm-hmm.
There's three people who know. The rest of us have to take your word for it.
Yep.
Now we take your word for it, not your lifestyle, to demonstrate. Some people with the most exemplary of lifestyle, I have every reason to believe, are rotting in hell. Yeah. You give your life on the streets of Calcutta to handle and deal with the people there that are just in awful filth and terrible dread disease. And then you write in your journal you don't even know if there is a God. Mother Teresa, the poster girl for works, working with the lepers in Calcutta, India. I'd love it if she were saved. I'd be glad for everyone that's saved.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no evidence, no testimony. As a matter of fact, you read her journal, she's kind of nasty.
Yeah.
She's not. The persona on Life magazine, that's not her. The devil knows the truth of us. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, after you've known God, or rather have known of God, we're known of God. Your salvation and your placement in the Lord Jesus Christ makes you this new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, and you walk according to His truth. Not according to the Wall Street Journal or anything else. His truth. Verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
The verse does not say everyone who names the name of Christ, zap, you're sin free.
Yeah.
You do the departing. You do the choosing. That everyone that nameth the name of Christ, you know if you're saved or not. The Lord knows if you are or not. If you are, depart from iniquity. I love the riches of our English language. When we see iniquity has to do with a deviation from rectitude. When's the last time you heard the word rectitude? Moral rectitude. Moral rectitude is when you don't eat candy cigarettes.
Yes.
Moral rectitude is when you don't stop to tie your sneaker in your neighbor's cantaloupe patch.
Right.
Because it looks like you're stealing cantaloupes.
Yep.
That's moral rectitude. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. That's what that is. Even the appearance of evil is out. Just as soon as we celebrate Carol's eye operations by going to La Maisonette in Cincinnati.
Is it still in business?
Pagans. It's not in business anymore. We really like the top of the terrace house.
Oh, that was pretty.
We really like going there. It's not safe. We go there to celebrate. Just as soon as I did that, I'd be coming down the elevator, walking out the building, and you'd drive by and say, he was in there drinking.
Yeah.
Huh? Moral rectitude says you don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
In Eveleth, Minnesota, which is not on the dark side of the moon, but it looks like it.
Yeah.
It's taconite, it's iron ore, it's open pit mining, iron ore range. Yeah, it's not the dark side of the moon, but honey, a lot of it looks like it. Carol's grandpa and I were walking downtown Eveleth, which is not a real big deal. And he informed me we need to cross the street.
We're going to the drugstore right over there.
We need to cross the street.
But the drugstore's right over there.
We had to cross the street, walk down a block, and cross another street and come back to the drugstore rather than go straight to it because we have to walk past the bar if we went straight. Not as if we were going to go in. He didn't want to smell the beer. He didn't want to smell the cigars. He didn't want to give it. Stay out of it. Don't even go close. You say, well, that's kind of, that's moral rectitude. That's just,
yeah.
He had his reasons, and I needed to respect them.
Yes.
Rectitude. I love Webster's 1828 dictionary because it quotes Bible verses.
Yeah.
Not a lot of dictionaries doing that. So, I need to depart from iniquity. I had been dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I've been quickened by God's Spirit. Now, I'm placed into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Things under my purview need to depart from iniquity. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 22 and 24 are wonderful.
Yes.
You put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. You see the putting off and the putting on. I get to do that. My choices matter. My prioritizations matter. So, when Paul says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ wait for the Holy Ghost to zap him,
wait to be led of the Lord?
No, you grab hold of it. Make the decisions to depart from iniquity. Now, the fact is, some will, some won't.
Yes.
There is a classification that I learned in my Baptist days of the secret sippers. The folks that they don't drink Jim Beam anymore, but they sure go through a lot of NyQuil. The people that are living a charade, that their Christianity shows up pretty much on Sunday morning and the rest of the week, they're as quick to tell a dirty joke as anybody else. In a great house, there's vessels of gold and silver and also wood and earth. You know what? There's going to be members of the body of Christ who give in to the flesh, who don't walk according to newness of life. They're still saved.
Yeah.
The whole point of Romans chapter 14 in the first five verses is there's some that get it right and some that don't. People who burned down their house with their Christmas tree, they didn't get it right. People that are vegans thinking that that makes them holy, they didn't get it right. So in this great house, the body of Christ, there's going to be vessels in this entity, which is the church, which is his body. There's going to be vessels of gold and silver. I'm reminded of 2 Kings. When there was a battle array and they didn't have the proper shields, so they made shields rather than silver or gold. They made them of brass. Brassen shields. Brazen shields. To fake everybody out. There are more people who think they're saved and aren't than I can even consider. It's scary.
Yeah.
But you've also got lots of liars that go to church to sell Avon. You've got men standing in pulpits who like the ease of the job.
Yes.
Who love the adoration of their flock. in stubble. Not even on a good day, they're going to land in hell. So in a great house, you've got that.
Yeah.
Paul warns about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses starting along about 6 to 16. We need to be Pauline in our doctrine. That's very important. Paul being the wise master builder. We are God's husbandry.
Yes, we are.
We need to be about His work. You don't get to farm your own crop. You're God's husbandry.
Amen.
And it's incumbent upon us then to become thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes.
How does that happen? Well, that happens as a product of the Word of God studied, believed, and installed in one's inner man.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
Yes.
You ever notice how many 3:16s are wonderful verses?
Mm-hmm.
There is, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, a workmanship that I'm supposed to walk in.
Yes.
Now, may I suggest to you that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, you underline the word should.
Yeah.
Then, in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where should walk in newness of life,
mm-hmm.
there it is again.
Yeah.
And then in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, we should not serve sin. There it is again. Should does not mean it's automatic. It's not a Holy Ghost zap. You want to know how gold, silver, and precious stones are differentiated from wood, hay, and stubble? And what sort? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Your works are, when it gets to the judgment seat of Christ, those shoulds are the difference maker.
Yes.
When you say, well, I just couldn't, if that's true, okay. But when you could and you didn't,
yes,
that's where the should kicked in.
Amen.
Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I don't want to. Yeah, right. So then, verse 21. I need to purge myself. If a man therefore purge himself, you see, who does it? I need to purge myself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, going back to the way I was. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, of infidelity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, of false doctrines. I need to purge myself of profane and vain babblings, verses 16 and 17. I need to purge myself of the false teachers that overthrow the faith of some, verses 17 and 18. And I need to purge myself of iniquity and dishonor and bad behavior, and that in verses 19 and 20. Have a nice day.
Yes.
Look at that. I got a list.
Yes.
Purge myself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. Wouldn't I like that? Wouldn't I like to be a vessel of honor?
Yes.
Then if I've got a list of things that stand in the way, why would I not deal with that list? Duh, as Homer Simpson might used to say. Why would I not deal with that?
Exactly.
I don't have to go find some priest somewhere, some Protestant popelet somewhere, to tell me how to live my life. And I've got a list.
Yes.
Holy Ghost inspired, Paul teaching Timothy, here's what's important. If you'd be a vessel of honor, my son say, here's what you get rid of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Now, to be the vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Purging constitutes the preparation.
Yes.
Not Louisville Seminary.
Amen, amen.
Let me back up. There's a drug problem in America. How do you solve it?
Well, educate.
Why the tax levy in Beaver Creek didn't pass? How do you get it passed? Education. Why there's so much unwed marriage and STDs? How do you educate? We worship education in this country.
Yes, we do.
We think education is the answer to everything. Forget moral rectitude.
Yeah, exactly.
Moral rectitude, forget about that. You can do whatever you want to as long as you've got a condom or something.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Yep.
Forget moral rectitude. Well, preparation, according to Paul, to Timothy, is not about you need more education, son.
That's right.
Preparation is purge yourself of the old man.
Yes.
You know, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yes.
You purge yourself of the old man. You purge yourself of the things of this life. You create a vacuum if you don't refill your inner man.
Yes.
With God's words which work effectually in you.
Exactly.
That dog won't.
Yes.
So you purge yourself. You get rid of it. You have to turn the page on some things. No going back. You know, why would you want to? It didn't work out that well for you now. I have a wonderful list. If I would be prepared unto every good work, it wouldn't be you graduated the Dispensational Bible Institute. That's not the be-all and end-all. Yeah, you need to learn the material.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quick to tell you that. But there's some purging needs to go on. Take control of your life. Don't be a Calvinist and I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances. You're not under the circumstances. You operate in spite of the circumstances. Now, what I've said to you in the last 5 minutes is not in any ministerial preparation book I've ever read. Today, ministerial preparation and the classes that the boys are taking is largely about the same kinds of things as advertising and promotion if you work for General Motors.
Yep.
Getting rid of iniquity, dishonor, false teachers, don't pay attention to them, profane and vain babblings, don't bother with them. It's a great list. One of the things I like best about the list is it only has 7 things on it. It could have had 7.